next, but yeah, I'm a professional.
Fuck's sake, this fucking light. Why are you so shit?
There you go.
Mm. It's like you're telling a spooky story.
Yes. That'll have to do.
Yeah, that looks nice. How you doing, man?
Og. I'm good.
Yeah.
That's very good. How are you? Good.
Yeah, you know, tired. Tired today. I've been up since 8. I edited a new Stardew stream. Felt
very
good.
Nice.
It's the final one that I needed to finish before I move.
And oh, yeah, because away from your AFK for a few weeks.
Yeah, 100%. I've got fucking videos scheduled from tomorrow to the 27th.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I know. I've been actually putting in work.
That's good.
It's been great fun. Honestly, the streams that I've been doing recently have been so funny. I think the editing, I've managed to not kill myself using Adobe because it's the fucking worst program, or Premiere Pro is the worst program ever made. Fucking edited 5 TikToks, like clips from streams.
Very nice.
Start to do those. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing today. But getting ready to pack tomorrow. Tomorrow's like big packing day for me. And then storage on what day is it? Storage on
Monday.
Storage on Thursday. And that's when I leave this shit heap of a flat. It's not even shit. It is. No.
It's done you well.
Yeah, it's done me well. Like, I've made it work. But there's just been a lot of... my bathroom light's back to being a bit cunty, so that's fun. That's been a problem for, 6 months. Been really irritating. But other than that, I'm excited to leave. I mean, it'll be a bit annoying living with my girlfriend just simply because she lives in a house of 6, so I'll be the 7th, and that is just a bit long. But
for how long?
From the 12th to the 24th. Okay, that's 12 days. Oh, man, that's 12 days.
That's not that long.
No, I'll make it work. Hopefully, if the weather holds up, then I'll just go outside, you know? I'll just like taking the air, you know? Time away from the computer. I get to really just take in nature, you know? Not that I won't have my laptop, but...
You're one of those naturists now. You go out... No, naturist is someone else. That's where you get naked in public, isn't it?
Isn't that...
Or is that a naturalist?
I don't know. I feel like maybe that is one of the definitions.
Let's find out.
What are they
called? It's going to be on my mind.
They're called nudists, but I feel like naturalist is probably like another way to describe him. I wouldn't know.
Naturalist is an expert or a student of natural history.
Oh, of course.
But a naturist... Person who gets naked in designated areas.
Oh, shit. in designated areas. Oh, that's nice.
A person who works with nature and natural objects and gets naked.
Oh. Yeah, so Bournemouth Beach. I'll be down.
Yeah. I'm at the beach in Bournemouth. a woman that is.
Oh, before we go into any topics that we want to get into, we have an update on Black Widow. Right, I'm sure you know that she was suing Disney, and she being Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah,
she sued Disney. I mean, obviously we're like weeks behind at this point, but apparently sources close to the actor's salary was based on the box office performance of the film project that she lost about 50 million. It's quite a lot. It's quite a lot of money.
It's quite a lot.
Disney countered by claiming that the dual release strategy had significantly enhanced Johansson's ability to earn additional compensation on top of the 20 million she had received. And I think that's a bit scuzz on Disney's part. I think, come on, lads, like, because the whole problem was the contract, right? They said something like in the contract, it's to do with box office, la-di-da, and like, just was like, didn't say, we're doing dual release. So there are many people that will not go to the cinema and they will watch on Disney Plus, but you won't get any of that money. We will. Mm-hmm. Pretty scuzzball, in my opinion.
It is.
Pretty scuzz. I think it is. That's I don't know.
Yeah, it's scummy when you put it down to what's actually happened, the events that have happened. But in the scale that it's at, she already got 20 million.
Yeah, but then
I would love 20 million. Yeah, and if I was offered,
hold on. Yeah, but you're saying that right. So if you get paid, I don't know how much paid you're. Let's just say you're on 10 grand a year. Okay.
Yeah.
You only get paid. Say you get 10 grand every year for the past 5 years. Excellent, right? You've been chilling. You're like, hey, 10 grand a year, that works for me. Then you get told, oh yeah, you're gonna get, you know, 10 grand and then any additional like royalties or whatever. And then you get 8 grand. And then you're like, well, hold the fuck up. I just did what the thing is. It's like, to scale, it's like she would deserve that money. Obviously, there's a lot of money in Hollywood. It's pretty whack.
Yeah.
But like, in terms of like how much you should get paid. And the thing is, it's not just her. Obviously,
it's not.
She did the whole suing. And then suddenly it was like, you know, was it Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt? One of them. I think one of them did something because of Jungle Cruise that's being released. And then there was one other person. Oh, God, their names escape me. I do have a couple of quotes that's quite funny. Well, not funny. It's just real. A couple of directors and other Hollywood people are against the dual release strategy, right? Because we talked about the dual release strategy.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, it's kind of nice. It's kind of good. Like, it has the potential to show, as we've said, like, you know, if you watch it with, let's say, your brother, your brother didn't watch Marvel films. Now, suddenly, he can watch them at home, doesn't have to pay to go to the cinema. Exactly. Maybe he then gets into it. However, you've got people like Christopher Nolan, hated that Warner Brothers movies went to HBO Max instead of, went to HBO Max immediately alongside release in cinemas. Mm-hmm. That's pretty whack, not going to lie. Same thing.
I understand why.
Especially with someone like, I say, as old school as Nolan. Like, Nolan is kind of one of the big boys. He's like,
he probably wants,
the films he makes are quite like, boom, you know? So he wants you to go to the cinema and watch them. And then, this was another one. Like, the Pixar animators hated that Soul and Luca didn't get a theatrical release at all. They were just released straight onto Disney Plus.
They were. I understand why people are getting annoyed, because, I mean, mainly the biggest thing that is driven these like people to come forward is money, because money is what that business or that side of the business care about. And I hate that that's what fuels everything these days. Issues arise because of money. But I understand it. But then at the same time, they get so much of it that I know, obviously, put in percentage, if you just put it into percentage number rather than the actual physical amount of money, the percentage is quite large, how much like ScarJo lost. But when you think about what she actually had already, 20 million is a lot of money. That's probably more than I'll earn in my lifetime. And she got that for doing a film, which arguably doesn't require a shit ton more effort than maybe me or you going to work for a year.
Yeah, the work that she did for 20 million wouldn't account for the same amount of work it would take you to earn 20 million doing like in your entire life. Like, your entire life would not be worth 20 million, but she got that in, you know, let's say like 8 to 10 months or something like that.
Yep.
That is quite ridiculous.
Obviously, she loads of efforts put in. I'm not going to deny that. It's intense for the actors, the whole crew, but she's working on it for what? Tops a year. And then that's it. She doesn't have to do anything if she didn't want to.
Yeah.
She will, because she's an actress and she wants to do more films and she wants more money.
Yeah, money. Everyone loves money. Weirdly, this is actually good. Have you seen the Matt Damon on Hot Ones?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
Have you seen that one clip that I feel like I'm about to bring up? Probably not.
Basically,
obviously, Matt Damon, one or the other, he's like been in Hollywood for like fucking what, 30, 40 years, something like that. And he got asked about like how movies, like on a Friday night, people will be sat at home with Netflix or their streaming service, whatever it is, and they'll be searching for a film and they'll go like, you know, there's like not much on, kind of thing. Mm. And he was asked basically like, why do you think like films aren't made like they used to be? And fucking hell, it's like money makes the world go round. Because Matt Damon was like, the films that he would want to make in the 90s, you would make that money back. You would make that money back, maybe not in box office, because the DVDs would then release. And
yes.
So there would be loads of people going, here you go, I want that. And there'll be like a second yeah. wind. It'll be essentially like re-releasing it in cinemas.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I can't remember the example he said. It was one of his films. It was with Michael Douglas or something. And it was like, I can't remember the story. It's something about like a love affair. And it's like, you know, it's quite like a dramery type thing, a very kind of late 90s, kind of early 2000s type film. And they were basically like, all right, so you need to, I think it was called like put in 25 million for P&A, which is like essentially getting ready for marketing. And then there's another 25 million for like, you know, everyone's salaries and things and like having people on set. And it's like, so that's 50 million. And then there's another 50 million for just general marketing just over the entire world. That's 100 million. This film would not make 100 million in the box office alone. Therefore, chances are it's like, you would need that second release, and you don't get that second release with things like Netflix and shit anymore, because people don't want to fucking pay for a film on Netflix.
No.
It's probably I wonder if Netflix will ever do like a Disney Plus type thing where like their Netflix originals will be like, hey, pay us a little bit more, just a little bit,
and then maybe
I don't know, because they've released so many Netflix originals already, so like why would
they have
why would they suddenly change up? That'd be pretty weird,
because then there'd be a massive uproar and then people would just stop using
people would be weird. Have you seen Netflix are trying to get into gaming?
Are they
apparently yeah
how
because you know,
like streaming service, or
I can't remember. I don't know a lot. This is I'm basing this off of about maybe one sentence from like a Dr. Disrespect stream.
Yeah.
Because apparently, right, they want to get into the streaming space. Not like I don't know, actually. Now that I'm saying out loud, maybe they do want to like rival Twitch, because right now it's like it's like Twitch and then YouTube and
whatever the other one that Ninja was signed for.
Well, Mixer, that fucking
Mixer.
That stopped. Mixer,
that gone,
bro. Yeah, bro. That,
oh, there you go. Then.
Yeah, fucking fair play to Ninja. He absolutely finessed. He got paid many bucks to Mixer, you know, had like fucking like a quarter of the views. Then when Mixer died, he just went right back to Twitch.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Nothing's going to rival Twitch. Netflix is a big company.
Netflix.
But are people... Twitch is an old service.
It is, yeah.
It's almost as old as YouTube is. It's like maybe a couple years younger.
Well, technically Netflix was like in the... It was... What was it called? The fucking... You could rent it. Oh, they had a name.
Blockbuster.
No, it was like Blockbuster in a way, but there were no stores. It was like... Is it? No, maybe it was stores. And you would have to like post the DVD back through the post.
What? Oh, where? Yes.
What was it called? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is like a distant memory. What was it? Netflix. I'll call it like... Oh, was it... Was it called Red something? I don't know. Fuck. I don't know. I'm just going to continue looking at Mr. Netflix Gaming. Because I think they want... to turn, well, not turn into a fucking streaming platform, but like offer a kind of streaming platform. And I think why I heard it from Dr. Disrespect is because he obviously got banned from Twitch, and not everyone's like, why? But he's just not saying anything. And he's going on YouTube and he gets like way less views. And I think it's harder for him to like gain views on his stream. And so then he was like, Netflix could be like the next, like, big rival. It'd be like, someone like Dr. Disrespect. I don't know if you fuck anyone that doesn't know. He's
I love him.
I love him. He's such a great personality. It's like a mate. You just gotta respect it. Like, even if you don't like how he is, like the fact he's been doing that since like early Modern Warfare 2. Like, you think that his character was like, you know, created at some... Bro, he's been doing... Like, you can go back on his YouTube channel to like 2007 and watch a Call of Duty Modern Warfare video of him exactly how he is today. It is astonishing. Yeah. And he was like, he would be happy more than happy to like get into a deal with Netflix and be.
And
like,
that's how Netflix will do it.
Yeah, and be that's like their the chance face of Netflix gaming.
Because just the fact of Netflix becoming a streaming platform wouldn't get them the recognition. It's who they would pay to use their platform, i.e. Yeah. Dr. Disrespect, similar to what Mixer did with Ninja.
Yeah.
If they do something like that, they take some of the big heavy hitters. If they got like Nick Merckx or like Ludwig or some of these ones that no matter what you watch, you enjoy it and they get views. If they were to be paid and put on Netflix, whatever the streaming thing they call it, that's how they'll get big.
Isn't it weird how the color schemes for the people actually matched who they were with? Like Ninja and Mixer, right? Ninja had like the blue hair and like how I viewed Mixer was a very blue, kind of blue dot, right? Dr. Disrespect going to Netflix is red and black. How weird is that? Now, that's kind of weird.
Spot on.
That's a lovely coincidence, you know? There are no
then Courage. And Courage should bring back Blockbuster because he's blue and yellow.
we just solved
it. Tim the Tap Man. Purple. And he's on Twitch.
Oh, is he purple? Man, Tim.
Yeah, he's purple.
I don't watch Tim Tap Man, so I don't know. I've just got the same hairstyle as him. So
he's reverse fade. Should we get on to the topic that we were actually for?
Do you want to do that one first? We'll do that one after. So Bo Burnham.
Yes.
Bo Burnham.
This just a heads up, I don't know what you're gonna talk about, but for anyone watching or listening, this might get sensitive at any points. There may be references to suicide, depression, and things like that.
That is very true.
Just as a heads up.
Damn, been out here saving lives.
Yep.
Kind of. So Bo Burnham's Inside, obviously released probably like a month and a half, 2 months ago, something like that. I don't know, beginning of June or something.
No idea.
Yeah. I've seen it twice, right? And I really loved it. And the thing is, I am gonna say now, I'm coming from a place where it's like, I would never have said that Bo Burnham is like a favorite comedian of mine. Like, I've seen his specials, like, what, you know, I've seen What, I've seen Make Happy or what, you know. But other than that, never saw him, never like considered going, oh yeah, he's like a favorite, like, you know, watching fucking clips on him on shit like that. But when I watched Inside, there was like, I was like, fucking hell. Guy actually kind of knows how to like make a, I don't know what the word would be, not thrilling, but just like a nice drama within.
And yeah, something you can watch.
Yeah, like
he made something you want to watch.
Yeah, it was really interesting because I feel like on first watch it did feel like he was filming it all, and it, while like as in you were watching it in real time essentially. It felt like you were watching it in real time, and after seeing like, I've seen the clips on TikTok, I remember going, you know, fuck, like, actually, think about who Bo Burnham is. He absolutely 100% set this up from the beginning. Oh, and even if it wasn't from the beginning, he, like, had ideas of where to take it and where to go.
Yeah.
Because there is no fucking way in hell he would have actually, like, I don't know, not forced himself to stay in, because actually I feel like he probably is one of the people that would do that. But I feel like he planned these songs and knew the kind of story that the songs would take. And he placed them strategically over the course of a year and was like, would show himself like trying to perfect it. You know, maybe it's practicing, coming up with these little skits in between. But that, like, he would wait and be like, oh, I need to have like a longer hair beard for this to show that I'm like,
the
time has passed, instead of. Because there was that one clip. I mean, we're not going to be talking about in like chronological order or anything, but there's that one clip of the final song where he has short hair. And it's like,
yeah, and he's saying this is test one. Yeah. And then on the projector behind him is long beard, long hair.
Yeah. And I'm thinking either that was at the very beginning. Because if you want to take it as he planned it, that could have been at the very beginning. And he just wanted to test it. Boom. Sorted. Or.
But it couldn't have been. Because it was projected over him actually performing in the same room. So he must have done it before with long hair.
And then
re-recorded it at the end and claimed it was the first test.
You're right. Absolutely. Absolutely. He like filmed the final song with his long hair, beard, fucking looking all shit. Cut his hair, showered, groomed himself, said, final, you know, first test of goodbye, la-di-da, here we go. Mm-hmm. And off he goes. But I thought it was great. I loved it. I thought it was really, like, even though we'll get into this as well, because I know you said you don't really like this style, the style of song and stuff, because I never really did as well. I always thought, like, comedy songs were kind of like, they were very in your face and very, like,
yeah,
they, like, try too hard to be funny instead of being a song, I guess. Because, like, some of Bo Burnham's songs from his past specials, I've gone, like, it's funny. But, like, it doesn't really, like, sound good kind of thing. Like, that was the point, but, you know. But then
I think maybe that is the point for him. Yeah, because he's a smart man.
For some of them. But then some of the songs on fucking Inside, honestly, were fantastic. Like,
All I enjoyed a couple of them.
Was one of, like, it's just such a class song. Like, the watching it the first time and having him fucking just, you think, like, oh, this is the culmination of, like, his album or whatever. And he's, you know, felt like he, oh, it's like my time to get back into comedy. And, you know, and then COVID hit, la-di-da.
Yeah, bad time.
And then he's just thinking, like, all eyes on me. He wants this attention. But then it was like, COVID was like, no.
Yeah, he was ready for it. Yeah, and then COVID ripped it away from
him. Yeah, like, he spent, you know, 5 years getting better mentally, physically, whatever, to have a pandemic stop him from doing the thing that he wanted to go back into. And it was, it was whack because you could, like, genuinely feel the, like, emotion behind that song in particular. Was just like, holy shit. Like, when he fucking grabs the camera and, like, and swinging it around, holy shit, dude, that was like, I was like, whoa. I was like, fuck,
he
hell.
Meant that. He properly meant that. I really enjoyed it. I did find it very difficult to watch, though, because it was... You sat there for, what, an hour 27 or something like that, watching a man deteriorate. Or he may not have been as bad as it was portrayed, but what you saw made you think you were watching a man deteriorate. You see him be frustrated. It was very, sort of, I don't know how other people's experiences were during lockdown, but it hit home a bit. Everyone struggled with different stuff, different events, whatever. Mm. I sat there and I wanted to watch it, but I felt myself get increasingly more unhappy during watching it.
Yeah.
And one, I've got to say, that's well done to him because he's made you feel what he felt.
Yeah.
Which was impressive. But also, it made me feel shit. I think the biggest reason it made you feel shit was because it's filmed in the same room all the way through. So you feel as trapped as he did.
It feels claustrophobic knowing that, like, each set he's done is just right there. And it's like, I don't know, it did feel like it was all kind of, because all the angles, it's actually so interesting, right? Because he obviously, he shot it on like a wide angle, but then would like add in zoom and zoom out post. And it was really interesting watching that because I was like, oh yeah, why would he fucking bother trying to get all these different lenses to get these different when, like, realistically, he's not going to be able to do that in this small room. Just use the same angle, boom. You can just see it, like, slowly panning in. I'm like, bro, how he wouldn't have been able to do that. He's just all alone. Poor guy.
It's very good. Very, very good. And I think what was really cool, I don't know whether it was intentional or not, it might have been, was the state of the room each time. It was never organized. It was always chaotic. There was always stuff on the floor. There was like dishes you saw at the sink and all this different stuff. And part of me wants to say it was intentional. Part of me thinks that he's done these sort of things consciously because he knows what sort of special he was creating. Something to say, I'm not okay. So I'm going to reflect that.
Yeah. The one thing about it being set up is Bo Burnham in one of his specials. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen this clip. You might not because you don't like Bo Burnham. But basically, he was like, he picked up some water, took a drink from it in a special, and he went to put it back on the stool, and it fell. And when it fell, he, like, broke out into song, was like, this was meant to happen. Like, art is dead. Like,
I have seen that clip.
And people were like, you know, when Bo Burnham does something, you've got to kind of be like, oh, maybe he is, like, purposefully setting it up in this way. Which, I mean, honestly, it's kind of genius. I would love to be able to have that kind of thought process to be like, you know, especially with the original special, like when he fucking drops the water. Because when you watch it for the first time, shit looks real. Shit just looked like he just missed the stool and was like, oh, fuck. But if it was all set up, you kind of go, whoa, hold on. Nate, he's just acting his entire special. He's not just being Bo up there. He's not being like Robert Burnham.
He's not being himself.
He's acting out his special, and I suppose you could definitely view Inside as the same. Like every time you look at his room, yeah, there were probably like random bits of clutter, but the majority of that set, he 100% was like, this needs to go there.
Yeah.
Like, the light falling, bro.
Yeah.
The camera rather.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. The second time watching that, I was like, he knew what he was doing. He knew to like pull on that light because you know. Maybe it is just forgetfulness. You know, maybe we're being, maybe everyone, including me, are being too we're looking into it too much, and so suddenly we're starting to doubt ourselves. Because realistically, how many times have you been doing something and you've absentmindedly forgotten that you know it was connected to something?
Yes.
Like the amount of times you got your headphones. How many times have you fucking unplugged this cunt?
Yeah, loads.
The amount of loads. Fucking fucking headphones rip off you. You're like cunt. So it's very possible. That he went to just grab the light, change something, and he fucking pulls the camera down. I don't know.
I think what we're doing right now is exactly what he wanted people to do.
Oh, 100%. Honestly.
I think he wants us to question everything.
This is the thing, you know. You think, Bo is smart. He is a smart guy, isn't he? So
really smart.
He probably, the thing, you know, again, maybe we are looking into it, but he probably knew that TikTok would just dive into his fucking special and pick up on every detail that there possibly could be. Oh, is this a lie? Did he set this up? Obviously it's set up. He's drawing real emotion. It's like, well, how do you know? How do you know that wasn't his real emotion right there? How do you know that wasn't his third take trying to do it? How do you know? You don't, because you're not fucking Bo. You weren't there. Oh, that's
I've got to respect him. I've never been a fan. I don't like his style of music.
Yeah.
I don't like the whole get up. It's way too political for me. I'm not one of those people. I said this to my brother because I started watching it the other day, and then I decided earlier this morning to watch it start to finish from full. And I finished watching it and I went down and spoke to my brother. And the way I describe how I view Bo Burnham is the same way I view watching Frankie Boyle.
Mm.
Both people they're very driven about what they're saying, and they both seem forced. Because I don't like Frankie Boyle because it's just a bit over the top, a bit too much, and he's just doing it because he wants to, or he can, basically. But same with Bo Burnham. I just always felt like I'd listen to his songs, listen to his stand-up, anything like that, and just think, God, you didn't need to say that. You have because you can.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy it. But watching this one, I understand now. Well, not understand, but I've now sort of got a bit more respect for him, because it's like, oh, he is human. He's just doing stuff because he wants to do it. And there was two songs on there I did enjoy.
Which one?
Good. No idea what the names are, but it was the acoustic one.
Oh,
love that
funny
one.
That funny feeling. I love that one. That
and then a different one, but I can't remember what it was or when it was. I think it was after that.
If it was after that, it was either going to be All Eyes on Me or Goodbye or the credit song.
It might have been Goodbye.
I mean, because Goodbye is the one where it, like, the previous songs that he sang, it brings in like a verse or two from each.
I think it was that.
I really like that as well, because like when you're watching that, you're like, oh, I've heard that, and then it like slows down and it goes into the next bit, and you're like, whoa, now he's gone into that, the fourth song from the album. Oh, it's really good. Yeah, but I think I do kind of share the same opinion with the whole political stuff. Sometimes it does feel a bit like, come on, we like understood your point, you don't need to keep going. But then in another way, because he's been gone for 5 years, he's like bringing forward, he's talking about the issues that have been going on. You know, he talks about the pedophilic corporate elite, which, you know, are like the police are involved with, because the police are also shit. And then he's talking about the like environment, like oceans rising and no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of like, you know, these things still exist. You should probably like focus on them instead of me, a white guy who's doing a fucking Netflix special about it and having all the attention on me. Go take your attention and go solve these issues.
What I sort of question about it is that if he feels so strongly about bad corporate businesses, the destruction of nature, all this other these issues, then why is he making a comedic song about it, and why isn't he actively helping it?
Yeah.
Because realistically, I'm not going to listen to the song and then get off my ass and go actively sort something out. I'm just going to go, back to playing games.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, because I mean, I haven't fucking done anything different since watching the special twice, listening to the album like nonstop in the first month. I liked all those songs, but at no point did I go, yes, I want to be the agent of change. I want to go fucking save the environment and be that guy. I'm going to continue doing what I normally do. You know, we still do our general part. You still recycle.
Yeah, yeah.
You still compost. You still do all the normal things, you know. You take public transport instead of driving. You do all this normal stuff that, like, humans should fucking do on a daily basis, but most don't. I don't know. There's a lot of it as well, like, that I think he makes fun of Deadpool at one point for being, like ironic that Deadpool like it breaks the fourth wall and stuff, but in a way, like, Bo does the same.
He does, yeah.
Which I was like, that's a bit like, you just, you know, it feels like your point now is invalidated because you are doing the thing which you said you don't like.
But then maybe that's his intention.
That's the thing.
Humans are hypocritical, aren't they?
Yeah, because he's just like, well, I want the attention on me. Look at me, I'm doing all this. And then he's like, I'm just a white guy. You know, I don't want to fucking give away my money. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and make a Netflix special. And then he's talking about the fucking irony of Deadpool and how Deadpool fucking talks to the... It is what it is. I think it was a good special. I think it was probably like the best way for Bo to come back, probably. I feel like if he did a special that was anything closely like his previous specials, I feel like there'd be a lot more hate than there was for Inside, I think. Yes. Yeah.
I've just got to say, well done, because for him to make me want to watch him is quite impressive, I think, because I wouldn't say I despised him, but I did not like him strongly.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to turn it off. I was happy to watch. Wasn't waiting for the end. Sorry, you can pass. It's fine, mate.
No.
And I did cry during it.
Yeah, definitely. I cried definitely some moments.
Three times. I think with it was the White Girl's Instagram song, whatever that was.
That's funny
when it was the mum saying about
the
post.
That shit caught me by so much surprise. That
it was like that.
Yeah,
it came on. He said a picture of mum, and as soon as I didn't even hear about it's been a decade now or anything like that, the next bit I already felt tears, and I sat there even for the rest of the song. Once it goes back to the sort of chorus, I was still there, sort of almost sobbing.
Well, that's the thing. That's what the funny thing about Bo Burnham is he will just fuck with your emotions like that. Because listening to White Girl's Instagram, you think at the beginning it's funny. You're like, oh yeah, these are all. Especially when you're watching it and you can see the examples that he's pulling. You're like, this is a White Girl's Instagram. It's very basic. It's funny. And then he brings up the mum thing, and you're like, oh, holy shit. And then it's the ending of that when he's like, give a hug and kiss to dad, implying that both her parents are gone. And I was genuinely like, fuck. I was like, fucking hell. And then immediately, a goat cheese salad. And I was like, fucking hell. It's just not fair that you would make someone like feel upset and then immediately go, I'm going to try and make you laugh again. I'm going to talk about goat cheese salads on a white girl's Instagram. You know, really, it's really well done. And I think I'm not going to say is the other one, but the one that I got like emotion at was that funny feeling when he was like, something like Googling derealization, hating what you find. And then it's like feeling like the summer air in early fall. And then he's like the quiet comprehending of it all. Like hearing that, you're like, holy shit. Everyone's there's probably a load of people who have had that like moment where they're like, you know, fuck, like maybe, you know, and on and on. It's just rough. Again, in a way genius, in a way torment, funny, sad. It was
yeah.
He really had everyone kind of on the emotional fence of whether to find it funny or whether to start crying to themselves because of how the pandemic had made them feel.
I think the bits that made me properly feel was the more stuff I related to, I guess, because the death bit, obviously I haven't lost my mum, but I've lost family members.
Yeah.
And that sort of, for me, I see on Facebook all the time from other family members remembering loved ones. And I'm not one to do that. I'm not a person that likes to post about, oh, lost so-and-so this time, this many years ago.
Yeah.
I don't do that, but I see it all the time because I've got quite a large family. And I saw that and it made me feel shit. The other time was when he had the video up or on the projector. It wasn't a projector, it was put onto his t-shirt. And you see him with a shorter beard and shorter hair talking about suicide. Mm. And then you see him with longer beard, longer hair, sat there in silence, just letting it play out. And you could tell that in this video about suicide, where he's saying, don't do it, you can then see that he has sat there in this chair or making you believe that he is now sat there saying, I want to do it without speaking a word. And that hurt because I'm not going into stuff, but last year those thoughts may have crossed my mind. That's hurt watching that because it brought it back up. And then also the frustration bit where he's just trying to say, oh, I've been doing this now for a year, seeing him not get happy with what he's saying, get frustrated, slam stuff. And that is me daily. I am like that all the time. I get frustrated at little things, simple things.
Yeah.
And that really hurt. And I think that's the one where it set me off a bit. Cause I was like, damn, it was not only difficult because it was like, that's me. I have that problem. It was difficult but it was nice at the same time to see I'm not the only one. And I think it was almost like, shit, that's me. And also like a tears of happiness. I don't know if you'd say that, but to sort of see I'm not the only one suffering with those issues.
Yeah, like not relief. I know what you mean. It's like not happiness that, you know, you're not happy that you're not the only one, but you are kind of like relieved that there is other people who are also feeling the same kind
of way. This is a kind of weird way to explain it, but the same feeling I got from that is what I would think Tom Hanks got when he was found on Castaway.
Interesting.
That sort
analogy.
Of like, people.
I kind of get it.
I don't know why that crossed my head, but that's, I think that explains it quite well. That's the way I've sort of felt about watching that.
Yeah, I think with what you said with like, it was when he was not reacting to himself, you know, in that bit where he does the scat fucking scat.
Yeah, where he just kept layering up.
Yeah, the after All Eyes on Me, when he's sat there at his laptop, just like watching it. And it's like, you can hear the bit that you just heard playing. And he's just like, he's just sat there, hand over that, just like looking at it. And you think like, if, I don't know, maybe not you, because you don't do like the creative stuff. But like, there are definitely times when like you could be, whether it be in like pre-production of something or whether you're like making it or whether you're editing the thing, whether it's taking a photo or editing it. And like, there have been times when I've been editing a photo and I've thought, this is a good photo. And then like, the more I go into the edit, the more I'm like, there's just maybe it's not good enough, is it? Like,
you suddenly feel like you're squeezing a dry sponge. Yeah, there's nothing you're getting out of it.
You know, I just think I did this wrong it's like in focus, but you can slightly tell it's wrong or something like that. And so you just feel like this like fucking bin. It was very well done, like artistically, for him to be able to show that kind of emotion. Cause like All Eyes on Me, I would say was probably like the best song on the entire album.
It was impressive.
Even if it was just emotional response that he was after, that would clearly top the thing because it was just like hearing the story of him wanting to go back into comedy and then it being stopped. And then it immediately getting shown this clip of him just like being disappointed with that song, that video, being like, fuck, dude, no. Like, you know, and we're all, you know, all the people watching, all obviously majority, like most people watching would be like, that was fucking incredible. That was amazing. And then you're just watching him be sad about what he just made and you're like, ah, that sucks. Yeah.
It was harrowing, I think, is the word.
Yeah, definitely.
But in a very strange way.
Yeah, I think, and the kind of, in like subtle, it was like subtly harrowing, where it was like, you're watching it and you kind of go like, fuck, like you may relate to some parts of it and some parts you may find funny. And then you're back to this like, almost unease, this dread, because you feel like, oh fuck, he's just describing.
It was just constantly up and down. I said this to my brother after, because he asked, what did I think? And I said, if there was someone to release anything like that ever again, with a similar structure, I would not watch it.
Yeah.
Because after I finished watching that, I sat in this chair with laptop closed in silence for about 20 minutes, just doing nothing, just sort of take it in, but not actively thinking, oh, I'm just going to sit there and think about that. It was just sort of, did it. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of like the idle thinking. Like you're just kind of, you're just sitting in it, and you, because it was quite heavy, as you said.
Like, it was.
It was quite heavy at times, like some more than others. So it was a bit like, fuck.
I think I really struggled with it. I don't think anything has made me feel shit like that before. Obviously, I've cried at films before, like Tony Stark dying. Spoilers. unless you've been under a rock, I guess. He dies, but I didn't walk out of the cinema going, damn, I don't want to do anything else today. I felt like that. And when knowing that I was going to, we were going to record this today, made me think, great, I'm going to have something productive to do today and that's going to help me afterwards. Because I've never had this before where I've watched something and it's actually hit me a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is weird. And it's weird that I'm so comfortable just to say this to anyone. Because at this point, I really don't give a shit if someone thinks, oh, you're a bit of a wet wipe or fuck off.
I think we're at an age now where, like, if someone says that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're the ones in the wrong, not you.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's Bo Burnham.
Yes, it is.
What would you give it out of 10 in terms of just what you thought, just first number that comes to your head?
I would say 9.
9. Nice. Yeah. I probably would have given it the same.
Yeah.
Famously omitting the 8 out of 10 that I love. Anyway, we've got another topic.
We do.
Which, you know, at this point, it's probably like a week and a half behind. But I'm gonna put the blame to me because, you know, I was busy streaming. I was busy editing. I really had no fucking time to do anything else other than edit. But our lovely friends had a set in London.
They
Jamie
did.
And friends too.
They Absolutely did, and it was wonderful. Brilliant.
It was wonderful for a lot of reasons. You know, for like, I don't know about most of our other mates, but for me, it was my first like gig, my like first fucking outing since COVID began. Really, like nothing like that. Fucking hell, you know, that shit was intense. It was such the energy in the room for people that have like been vaccinated or, you know, were having their, you know, they had their test and they were like, well, you're able to go see this garage set from, you know, for some people, probably their favorite artist.
Yeah. And
for us to see fucking multiple of our mates perform in front of like 100, 110 people, fucking unbelievable energy.
Really, such a good feeling. And we were only friends. Think of what it was like for Andy and Will and Rob to be on stage seeing people that they don't know there to watch their own music.
Dude.
Obviously, they've done it before. They've done other shows. But yeah. I think
there was something about it. Because Jemmy and Friends is like, that's like, I always saw that as like Andy's event. That isn't just like Andy's performing a set. That's like Andy is getting him and his mates to go on stage and perform their sets, their music to a crowd. And it was fucking amazing. And this,
it was brilliant.
And I've said before, garage isn't even my thing. I don't know anyone who performs garage music other than our man, Jemmy. And that's it. I was fucking loving it. I loved it.
Yeah, you were. I could see.
It was fucking great. Obviously, I told you this and I told a bunch of other people that it was funny, like, being in the crowd and turning to someone and being like, who are you here to see? And they're like, Jemmy. And
Jemmy.
I'm like, his name is Andy. And they're like, yeah, you know,
I love
Chevy Tunes. And I'm like, bro, I went to college with him. And like, what the fuck, dude? These people are mad. It was amazing. Ah,
it was brilliant.
God.
It was so good.
God, it was actually just incredible. Especially like...
It felt normal as well. It finally felt like things were normal again.
It's definitely on the up and up. It feels like it's definitely on the up and up. I don't want to speak too soon. It feels like it was on the up and up. And I think for us, especially to like go on stage with him as well, like to have fucking like 10 to 15 of us on stage behind Andy while he's performing, fucking just there dancing with everyone. Oh, it was just electric, bro. It was just
the best bit about getting on the stage was actually when you tried to go up the stairs and the security would go, sorry, I was like, no, that's my mate, the one there on the decks. And they were like, oh yeah, all right, up you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get on a stage, McGregor walk out. Dude, I'm on here.
It was when I had the disposable camera and I went to go on stage and I got the stops and I was like, no, I'm his photographer. And they were like, yeah. I was like, it's just a disposable camera. You could literally have gone to Boots and bought one for £7 and just gone, yeah, I'm his photographer, and just fucking just chill out.
I bet you could have just done this with your hands. Yeah, I'm his photographer.
Yeah,
one
I'm
sec.
His photographer, you see. And they're like, oh, yeah, go through. Oh,
I'm doing a security audit.
It was well good fun. Obviously, I took a bit of a tumble.
Yes, you did.
I did take a bit of a tumble.
Yes, you did. At my feet.
I think it was funny because people assumed it was because, like, I tripped because I was drunk. But it was not. I'm telling you now, people, it was not. There were two
speakers. There was the floor monitor speakers.
Yeah, there was basically, so if, here's the decks. There's, like, floor speaker and then there's two speakers on either side. And the speaker on the side that we were on was slightly like skewed, ever so slightly, just enough that when I tried to walk past to get a photo of, I think it was, the funny thing is, I think I was going to take a photo of the crowd. Mm-hmm. I fucking tripped and started falling and there was no saving me. I had a camera in my hand. No one fucking knew what I was doing. Why would you have known that I was trying to go around to take a photo of the crowd? I didn't go, hey, Ben, I'm going to go take a photo of the crowd. And you're like, oh, yeah, watch out.
I saw you move and then fall like a sack of shit.
Bro, I fell so hard and directly onto my hip. Oh, man, that shit hurt like a bitch. It was a good time.
I could tell.
Yeah, mate, I was genuinely in pain. Like, for real. Like, the moment it happened.
Yeah, because
like,
you were pretty drunk and still in pain.
I remember being on the floor for like a good 5 to 10 seconds. Like, it was probably quick. It was probably like 2 to 5 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was something about, like, I was literally just, like, looking up, and I was, like, my fucking hip. And then it was, like, fucking, you know, Julia and you and like, Marge or whoever was there being like, are you okay? Come on, get up. And they're picking me up. I'm like, oh, God. That bruise is nearly gone now. Nearly. Mm. Not quite. Still.
Oh, you showed me the other day and I could still see plenty of colour there.
Plenty of colour. Still vibing. But ultimately, no one's worried about me. I'm completely fine. You know.
Yeah, I mean, the next day when I got back home from London, Mum asked, how was it? Like, how was it good? And I was like, yeah, it was great. We're up on the stage and all that. Did anything go wrong at any point? I was like, oh yeah, someone stood on a wire and it unplugged the whole deck and the power went out. Oh yeah, and then Finn stacked it and basically died.
Yeah,
just like badly. I was like, well, if he was to go to the doctor, I wouldn't be surprised if they said there was a small crack somewhere.
I think being drunk helped because, like, the limpness, I just kind of went around the speaker
nice and soft.
Rather than going...
It's like whipping a pole.
I genuinely believe that that's why I was okay.
Bruised.
I literally... Yeah. It's like how when... this is a dark example, but it's kind of like when if you drunk drive and you hit a fucking lamppost, you're more likely to survive because... You go limp and you just kind of, you like go round. Whereas
it the not
people,
know that
people that aren't drunk will fucking like tense up and they fucking like break every fucking bone. So I think me being drunk was just like, and I just went, and just kind of went,
bit of spring in your step.
Yeah. Oh, I got a bruise. Not like, I fucked my hip beyond belief.
Someone else fell off stage one of the fans got up on stage.
Oh,
and
I think I remember this.
We all sort of, we're all behind, and they kept getting up in front of the decks. And the security knew at this point, because so many of us had just been on and off the stage, which ones should be there and which ones shouldn't. And they got hold of one of their arms to pull them to the side, and their mate looked left to see their friend getting taken off down to the stairs. And he stepped forward to just go off the stage, but didn't step on the stage, stepped onto nothing, and just went blonk like a plank off the front. And I remember I was behind the deck, behind Andy, and Andy's like shelling, he's doing absolute bits. And I just see this person disappear, and the crowd sort of absorbs around him. And I just didn't see if he ever got back up or anything like that. I saw him fall into like the abyss, and then he could have, I don't know what happened. Obviously, I mean, he probably was helped up and everything.
He was
definitely helped up and stood up, but that's it. I just saw this guy fall, and then because I hadn't seen his face, I didn't know what to look for to see if he was up and okay.
Overall,
it was good.
Amazing set, good times.
I think it was brilliant.
It was great seeing like Will up there as well.
I missed it.
No, you did. Yeah, you.
I missed Will and Rob.
That is disgraceful, mate. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes, bloody public transport, save the planet, but lose your friends.
I think it was fun with Will, because I remember me and Josh specifically shouting like a bunch of things just to annoy him. Like, I think we definitely mentioned something about Liverpool, because obviously he's a Manchester supporter. So I think we definitely mentioned something about Liverpool. We definitely were just like, you know, you are shit. Stuff like that. I feel like one of them, Will, definitely looked up and smiled and was probably mumbled to himself like, fuck off, you know, like,
yeah. well Josh would have definitely gone, yes, Will. There would have been definitely yes, Will.
That 100% happened. He shouted that at the top of his lungs. I can't remember someone else. I think it was like saying like shit like, we love you, Will, and we love you, Rob. Because like when it died down, there was this moment where it was just like, if I shout now, the crowd will also respond.
Yeah.
And shouting like, we fucking love you, Glimji. And everyone going like, yeah. And I was like, it felt good. Me and Josh leading the fucking charge on the chance. It was great. Great fun.
And amazing. That would have been such a good feeling for Will as well.
I think, not that we're doing Will a service by doing it, but it is like, it certainly must be nice to just have like an automatic hype.
Yes.
To bring the rest of the people up. It was great.
So unbelievably proud of them all.
Oh, 100%.
It was so good.
All throughout the night.
They did not do anything
all throughout
wrong.
The night, just like chatting to, whether it be randoms or just like between us as mates, being like, fucking, I can't believe we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck is, people are here chanting for Andy, chanting for Will, chanting for Rob, chanting for so-and-so, chanting for so-and-so. It's like, whoa, we fucking know these people, like personally. People are going fucking ballistic for them.
Multiple people got recognised. I got recognised for being on the back of the Jemmy t-shirt. And a guy wanted a picture with me. And then I pulled Andy over and said, look who this is.
Yeah.
And the guy went ballistic. And then me and you had something happen for the first time. Separately as well.
Yeah.
Not even like we were together at the time. You got recognised by some guy. Can't remember his name. Don't know anything about him. But he said he'd watched the Jemmy episode. And then recognized me and you separately at different times in the night.
Yeah, I knocked his drink out of his hand.
Yes, I remember you saying.
And I bought him another one because I felt awful. Because, like, fucking hell, you know, imagine someone being like, oh my God, I recognize you from your podcast. You did Belly Talks.
Fuck off.
Fuck you and your drink. Don't talk to me, cunt.
Did I ox you?
It was, I bought him a drink. Again, can't remember his name. I'm going to put that down as me being drunk and not remembering shit. I only remember my injury. It was a traumatic event. So I feel like the rest of the memories were just kind of like, whoa, fuck all that bullshit. You fell and hurt. but yeah, shout out to that guy. He was very pleasant.
Yeah.
He was a very pleasant
guy. He was least, very, very nice.
Jimmy and Friends 3 apparently is happening around Christmas time, Ben. Don't know if you know
that.
Yeah, apparently I think Andy's aiming for like 17th to 19th of December, sometime like that, which is wonderful. Because I will get to go to that if it's on those days, and then immediately fly to Spain to see my parents for Christmas. So
it could be a good few days, actually, because if it is 17th, whatever day it goes, we can go to London. We could go to a cinema and watch Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh,
then
shit.
Go to Jemmy and Friends 3, and then you can go to Spain.
And then we could record a Christmas episode where we talk about all of those things.
Yes.
Dude, oh man, do you remember our Christmas episode last year?
That was brilliant. Anyway, very, very wholesome.
It was a wholesome app. Wholesome app for sure.
Well, we won't be doing that again because bonks are a shit now.
Yeah. Bonks are a shit.
Yeah. No, they're not. We were just talking about how great some of them are. And
some. For sure, some.
Who else is great? Ah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. The only people you should focus on are Benny Talks and Jemmy and Glimchi, I suppose. And Josh, just because funny.
Yeah.
Funny that Josh gets a shout out. Well done, Josh.
Well done, Josh.
Well done, mate. You did it. Right, mate. I think that wraps up this app, unless you got anything else to bring up.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
We tried something. This might be the similar format for new episodes now of talk about multiple things. I like this. We had a recommendation from said bloke at Jemmy and Friends.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a lot more relaxed of a way to, because then, like, in any silence, you don't feel like, is there anything else about this particular thing that we were meant to be talking about? And then let's say after the episode, imagine you find something else and you're like, fuck. Whereas if we do it more like this, more relaxed, then we'll just
fluid.
Just talk about it next time, bro. We'll circle back. It's fine.
Yeah.
Right. I've got to, I don't know, begin packing, I guess.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So probably won't, don't know when we'll record the next step.
It might be a little while.
Whether it'll be at my girlfriend's, depends on if I bring my mic. Whether it'll be when I moved in and I can show off a new backdrop for me without my washing. We might have a new setup. Well, I mean, we will, obviously. Very exciting. Very exciting times we live in. Anyway, Ben. Fair enough.
See you around.
See you around.